Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live during the liturgy at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the second Sunday of Easter, 2017.
At the end of the spring semester, in my junior year of college, at the end of that semester, I was tired. I mean, a deep tired, not tired because it was a rigorous semester academically, not because things had been busy in other areas and just I wasn't getting enough sleep. It was a deep tired, deep down in my heart tired, because for 3 years, I had been doing everything that college life and college culture said, do this and you'll be happy. Live this life and you'll find fulfillment. And for 3 years, I tried that. And at the end of 3 years, I was exhausted in my spirit. I mean, like deep down tired, because it wasn't bringing me everything that the culture and the college life said that it would bring me. And so every week, every month, every semester, just give myself back over to it more. The more I gave myself over to it, the less that it brought anything to me at all. And at the end of 3 years, I had in my heart just a deep, tired feeling. You know how scary that is? To not even be finished college yet and to already feel tired with life. When I began to realize that that's what was going on inside of me, that there was a tremendous amount of fear in that. Like to be that young and to already feel like you're tired with life. That was incredibly scary. Now, 6 months later, not long into the fall semester of my senior year of college, at that point, and where I felt at the end of my junior year, if you draw a line right down the middle of it, black and white, radically different, old life, new life, that's where I was. Because that summer between those two semesters is when, as I've shared with you so many times, my conversion began to unfold. And when it had set in a solid enough way, in the fall of that senior year, I could look at my life, and I could say at that point, just 6 months after what I just described to you, I could say, along with St. Peter in the second reading, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in his great mercy, through the resurrection of his Son, he has given me a new life, an entirely new life. And that image that St. Peter uses, it's not just an image, it's not nice words to somehow try to capture it. It is exactly what God intends to do, what he wants to do, to actually give to us a new life. And as St. Peter says in that second reading, the cause of all of that is the great mercy of God. And I could say in that fall, Lord, you have been so merciful. And the amazing thing was that the experience of his mercy for me wasn't just that he was willing to forgive the stain of my sin from, you know, all the junk of college life. The mercy was far greater than just stain removal. It was a mercy that was so great that it was offering me when I had not even looked for it. Like, I hadn't even gone to him and said, all right, I'm finally ready. He completely reached out, broke into my life, but what he offered was an entirely new way of living. And all of that came to mind praying through the second reading that we heard tonight. Because Peter is talking about the experience that every single Christian is meant to have, the normative experience for a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus, is meant to be my old life, and now in Christ, the new life that he's given to me. And that was exactly the experience that I had. And it was an experience of God's mercy. And that's what Peter's talking about. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in his great mercy, because of that mercy, he gave us his Son, and through his passion, death, and resurrection, he has now offered us, given us a new life. Peter writes that because he experienced that himself. That was the experience that he had. We remember what played out on Holy Thursday and Good Friday. Peter is not speaking abstractly, but about his own experience. And he's writing to the early church here, and he's simply telling them what they also experienced. So it's meant to be the normative thing for every single Christian. So you're wondering, okay, well, am I living that? Do I have that? And you might think, okay, well, you know what? If I can pull out my baptismal certificate, that's proof that I've got that new life, right? Would that do it? Would your baptismal certificate bear witness to you living a new life? You know the answer. It's no. No. If you looked at my life at the end of my junior year of college and like had a snapshot of me and put my baptismal certificate up to it, my daily living was in no way manifesting or showing forth a new life. It was the old life. It was constantly going back to the old things and being utterly, deeply exhausted because of it. And yet, I was baptized. So, what failed? What didn't work? Well, it wasn't anything on God's part. In baptism, he did what he needed to do, but the failure was on my part, that as I got older, I never took the step that every one of us needs to take, which is to say, Lord, I want that gift of new life. And whatever door my parents' faith opened up, and it opened a door, I did not choose to walk all the way through. Maybe I took a few steps, but certainly not enough of my own yes that in any way one would look at me and say, wow, look at Eric, he's really living a new life. No, it was just the same old, typical college life. So if you want to know, well, Lord, am I living out the new life? Just look at your daily living. In the readings today, there are a couple little indicators, marks of what that new life should look like. In the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, it tells us that the newly baptized, the early church, for them, their faith wasn't just an hour or so one day a week, but it was a radically new way of living. They worshiped with joy and sincerity of heart. They shared meals together. There was an actual community. They sought one another out. They lived their lives together. They cared for one another. They sold their things they had to get money to help those in need. It's a whole way of living. And that's one of the marks of one who's living out that new life. Another mark of it is in the gospel, Jesus, he breathes the Holy Spirit on the apostles and says, the Father gave me a mission to come and to bring his mercy to the world. And so now I'm going to breathe my Holy Spirit on you and I'm going to give you a share in that mission. Those whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Those whose sins you hold bound are held bound. But part of the mark of that new life is a readiness to forgive. And for the apostles, that gospel that we heard tonight, it describes the foundation of the sacrament. And that there's no getting around that. And some of you maybe have found ways in your brain to fool yourself into thinking that you don't need to take advantage of the sacrament as if there's another way that God, you know, in a normal kind of means, would forgive sins. But you can't get around the clarity of this gospel. Receive the Holy Spirit. Those whose sins you forgive are forgiven. He gives the church a share in his ministry of reconciliation. But for them, it also meant the personal readiness to forgive those who would put them to death. You know that 10 out of these 11 apostles would all die a martyr's death. And they needed to be ready to forgive those who were shedding their blood. Another mark of that new life is a readiness to enter into suffering in a different way. St. Peter says in the second reading today that even the way that you suffer is different now because you know that God is using your suffering to purify your faith in order that you might really hold on to and take possession of the gift he has for you in eternity. He wants your faith pure like gold tested in fire. So even the way that you suffer is going to be different. So these are just marks of that new life that the Lord offers to each one of us. Now, tonight, I am certain that there are some of you who are here who are tired in your heart. You're tired because you've been going through all of the motions of life. You keep giving yourself away to the things that the world has said to you. This is the way you're going to find happiness and peace. And maybe even your understanding of God's mercy is kind of narrow, and that you've treated it simply like the removal of only the stain of sin as opposed to a mercy that can actually give new life. And maybe you found yourself, you sin, you go to confession, you come back out and you sin again and you go back to confession, and it's just like it's the same garment. And all the while the Lord is saying, I want to give you a new life, I want to clothe you in a new garment, but you're like, well, just get rid of the stain and it'll be good, right? And you're exhausted because that's what you've been living out in life. And I want to tell you that what Peter says to us tonight is the absolute truth of what God's mercy wants and intends to do. His mercy is so much more than just the removal of stain, of sin. It's a mercy that is so great that it wants to give to each of us a new life, a new way of living. It's meant to begin in baptism, but you and I need to offer our own yes to it. That's why every year, like we did last Sunday on Easter Sunday, every year at Easter, the church builds into the Easter liturgy the renewal of baptismal promises. It's a way of saying to us, do you want the gift of new life that Christ has won for you? And that time of renewal of our baptismal promises is meant to be a time when we say, Lord, yes, give it to me. I need it. I'm tired on the inside, and I want a new life. So tonight, let's pray for the Lord to give us a faith that is so expectant that it opens up the door and says, Lord, bring it. I need it. I want it. I desire it. Lord, I don't want to limit your mercy, as Pope Francis said during Lent. I don't want to limit your mercy to just kind of being like a sacramental dry cleaner, where I go in and you get rid of some stain, but I leave wearing the same garment, the same life. Father, I want a new life. I want to live a new life. I want that. Let's pray tonight for the gift of a faith that is so convinced of what Peter is saying here that we're not going to stop until everything's opened up and laid bare, ready to receive the gift of new life he wants. Our yes, which is just a little tiny part of the whole work, our yes is meant to open the door to let him in. He's already there at the door of your heart knocking. He's already done all of the work. Our role is simply, Father, yes, I want that gift of new life. And I want nothing more than every one of you to be able to say with me, because of my own experience of this, and with St. Peter, to be able to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth, a new life, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his Son. That's his offer to us, and we pray that we might receive that tonight as we continue on with our worship and our prayer.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.